Hello everybody, welcome to this episode of The Daily Sip. Today we're going to compare Sencha green tea, which I have here, and against the matcha green tea or matcha powder, how it is also known, or even green tea powder. So what we're going to dive into is really the comparison of these two teas. Why are they different? What is actually the difference? And who or which tea could actually be the one you would like to consume? So when we talk about green tea, we know that the Camellia sinensis is actually the birth plant for both of the teas. Matcha, as you might see, is just a fine powder, so it's actually green tea in powder form. Meanwhile, Sencha, which is also the most common tea, this one here is actually a tea made out of leaves. So when we just boil down to the essence of these two teas, here you have a powder, and you're gonna mix it with water, and you're gonna drink the powder. Meanwhile, in Sencha land, you are actually brewing the tea and then you're enjoying the notes or the fine notes of the tea leaves, but the tea leaves are actually out of the water when you consume it and the tea leaves don't enter your body. Good, so this is actually now the start. So when we come to Japanese green tea, when we go back a little bit in time in the Japanese green tea history, it is actually the monks which brought from China, from their studies in China, tea leaves back, and they planted them in Japan. And that's why also in Japan, tea or the green tea in general is much more linked to more of a spiritual Zen side. And this is actually where the Zen side, or a little bit more the Zen side of the tea kind of surrounding Japanese green tea is coming from. So when we talk about what is the first green tea which was actually drunk by the monks, this is the matcha or the powdered form. Because in the 8th century, when they started to bring it back, the tea leaf rolling, or this method of tea leaf rolling, was not invented yet. So they had to find a way to consume it, and they just ground it into fine powder and then consumed it for their long meditation session. The Sencha green tea was actually a breakthrough in the 18th century, so 1765, if I remember it right. It was that actually the rolling method of the tea leaves, it was invented, because when you just used tea leaves and you put them into water, it actually didn't give the tea water a very strong taste. So what you had to do is to roll the tea leaves. So this rolling method was invented, and this is sometimes when you see the Sencha coming from very fine needles. And this is the reason that actually this is the kind of the reason to enhance the flavor by breaking the leaves, and then the leaf can release more of their flavor to the water. And this is when then Sencha established itself as the tea consumed by the Japanese tea consumer, now accounting for about 70%, while matcha is at the lower one, lower single number percentage consumed in Japan. So the most consumed tea still stays Sencha, and then matcha is actually at a lower level. When we look at the brewing of these two teas, so actually what the difference is that the matcha, as it is used directly into the water, mixed with the water and then drunk, it doesn't need any brewing. When we look into Sencha, there the brewing is quite important. So when you prepare your matcha, you can use any kind of water temperature. If it's too hot, you're not really able to drink it, but the matcha itself doesn't get influenced too much taste-wise by the temperature of the water. In my experience, is when you're using very hot water around 200 Fahrenheit, which is around 90 degrees Celsius, then it can release a little bit more of the fresher tones, but in general, the matcha is much less affected than Sencha. When you're brewing a Sencha, there are two factors are coming in, the time and the temperature. So when we are looking into the temperature, there the most common temperature is around 70 to 80 degrees Celsius. Personally, I like 70 degrees Celsius, so 165 Fahrenheit a lot. And when it comes a little bit more to an even smoother and a sweeter tea,
then I even go down to 140 Fahrenheit, which is 60 degrees Celsius. In terms of time for Sencha, 1 minute is way enough. This is actually when the tea already develops a very beautiful flavor. When you leave it on an additional minute, then you have actually the bitter particles or the more astringent particles, the catechins, which are released, and then giving the tea a more of a kind of a flavor which is going into astringency, citrusy tones, and it is less enjoyable. So here a little bit more technique is demanded, but still it's quite easy to brew it. And in the end, what we know, especially when you go into the nutritional aspect of the tea, what is nice about matcha is that you're actually drinking the whole leaf. So here you have the nutrients, all the nutrients which are in the tea leaf are entering your body, and so it is said that matcha can be or is healthier than, especially than lower quality green tea, which you just brew and which have not a high, very nutritional value. Here with Sencha, we already talk about the leaf tea, which is a little bit higher in its nutrients, but still, thanks to the fact that you're drinking the whole leaf, actually all the minerals and all the nutrients of the matcha are entering into your body. Especially when you're using also ceremonial grade, then the amino acids are very high in terms of amount. And when you're pushing up the amino acids, especially the L-theanine, which is an amino acid which has a positive effect on your brain, on your cognitive functions, how you say it, it is actually calming you, de-stressing you. It's buffering also the caffeine, which is in the tea, and then actually gives you this smooth, this kind of alert and waken up state. Especially it is important when you have a long shaded matcha, then actually the nutrients are the densest. You have the most nutrients and the most calming effect as well, but as well you have the highest amount of caffeine. So the difference also in caffeine when we are now arriving at this stage is that a very good high-grade ceremonial-grade matcha can have up to the double of the amount of 5 grams of Sencha. Here with 2 grams, we can be around 70 to 80 milligrams, but if you double it, you can go up to 140, 150 milligrams, while here we are staying between 60 to 70 milligrams. So here when we use matcha, thanks to the fact that you also can actually use different amounts, then you can regulate a little bit the amount of caffeine. So when we go now into the tasting of these two teas, and this is actually what I want to do now, is to really show you what is actually the difference between the taste profile of these two teas, and this is what this session is a little bit about. I was just trying to kind of bring you in a little bit, bring you to the level of where we know, we understand what these two different teas are actually from just aspect of the tea consists, or the kind of the tea consisting, or how it is the nature of these two different teas. And now let's go into the brewing or into the preparation of these two teas. So as I said, for the Sencha, we need to brew it. So what we need is either you have a teapot or you have a strainer at home. So use 5 grams, put them in here, and we're gonna use 70 degrees Celsius water, 165 Fahrenheit, and we're gonna add around 150 milliliters. Good. Now, with the matcha, we do it differently. So today I'm a little bit lazy. Today I brought the milk frother. So this one here. So the milk frother actually has a very easy way, or is a very easy way to prepare matcha. I personally like it quite a lot because it foams very nice. It's not as meditative as the bamboo whisk which we are using, but as I said, I'm a little bit lazy today, so today it's gonna be the milk frother. What you need to do is, as soon as matcha is exposed to air, it starts to form crumbs. And here already with the minute is over, so I was talking about the minute. Let's keep it at the minute, otherwise I'm a contradiction. So, leave it here. And then you have to sift it just to get rid of the crumbs and have a very smooth and delicate matcha. Here I have 2 grams, which I'm using. So here we are around 70 milligrams of caffeine. Et voilà. Good. Just sift all in until nothing is there anymore. And you can really see it's empty, no matcha anymore. So really sift it through. And what it gives you is really this fine powder, which you can see here, very beautiful. And here we already have the brewed tea. 1 minute, 70 degrees Celsius. And this is actually how the tea leaves look like after the first brewing. So you can see they're a little bit unfolded, but they're still a little bit rolled as well. So this is something which is quite unique. Then over the different steepings, we actually unroll the tea leaves completely until they lose their taste. Here, very simple, as I said, no brewing needed, but we need the milk frother. We're just gonna add this water. And we're gonna just mix it with the milk frother. Perfect. Now, I want to have a little bit of more foam, so I'm gonna mix it a little bit longer. Voila. What you can see is with the milk frother, unfortunately, it's not as good as the matcha, in my opinion, the chasen, but you see this beautiful foam which formed itself. So here on top. And when we compare these two, now you see already the big difference. Is that actually the brewed tea is much lighter in its color. Here we have a strong, strong green color. And now in terms of taste, let's have a look how the difference is between these two teas. So here we really have the green tea powder mixed with water. Maybe I just use the same amount of water as here. Then we really have, voila, the same amount. And really the same level. So to really have a fair comparison between these two teas. Let's start with the matcha. It's super nice in terms of a strong green kind of spinachy spring light spring grass taste profile, very bold in its kind of green notes in terms of the first kind of taste profile. Then it shifts over a little bit into an edamame flavor profile, and then in the end you have kind of this sweet umami sweetness, but still quite well mixed with this more of fresher, greener, spinachy, cucumbery also flavor profile with a little bit of a smooth, sweet undertone. Let's go a little bit for the fruit. And we think about the fruits. So I get a lot of nuttiness here. I have an okomidori, a so-called okomidori matcha. And here, this one here, shows a lot of creaminess, a little bit of a nuttiness, but also quite a nice sweet hint in terms of a little bit of banana peel, a little bit kind of finer, creamier in its taste profile. That's why I go in the direction a little bit of banana, a little bit less mango, a little bit less peach, maybe a little bit of apricot, slightly in this direction, but especially for me, a banana peel's a flavor profile which is on the sweet side, describing this very much. So we are having a very green, kind of spinachy, light spring grass flavor profile. Then it goes over into a nice umami, a little bit more savory flavor profile, and showing at the same time kind of the slight notes of banana peel. This is what I get from this one here. Now let's go into the sencha. Sencha, already when I smell it, here, kind of really strong vegetal notes. Here, light notes, slighter, kind of softer, mellower notes. a little bit of sweetness. And when I'm drinking, it's just much lighter. So when we already compare in terms of first tasting, here you have a bold green, sweet and soft notes, but in its essence, kind of the character of this tea is really bold and strong. So it's definitely the stronger tea between these two. And you really have to like this a little bit more vegetable, a little bit pushy, greener notes. And if you want to have a little bit more of subtle, softer, sweeter notes, you can definitely go for the brewing. So here, this strong green vegetal notes are definitely not as present. When we go into the taste profiles at the beginning, it shows a little bit of a sweeter, I get a little bit of honey melon notes. Then showing a slight hint of this kind of nuttiness, which I got there, much stronger, but it's a kind of a finer, sweeter, nutty flavor profile. And then going over in this more kind of savory taste profiles, but also very light, very fresh. This is also harvest, spring harvest for now, 2021. So just around 2 months ago, this tea has been picked. And it's very soft, very sweet, smooth, and never as green, never as strong, never as bold as the matcha. So as you can see, two very, very similar teas coming from the same root, so same plant, but prepared in a different way and especially drunk in a different way in terms of the whole leaf is here, while here you only brew the leaf. And what you might think is also that the negative side of the matcha, you might say so, is that you actually have your glass, you drink the glass, and then you're finished your tea session. Meanwhile, here I just have a first brewing, but I can go for a second, third, or even fourth without the tea losing very much of its taste profile. So here we definitely have the hydration aspect also coming in. So I personally am a little bit more of a leaf tea drinker. So I definitely prefer when I can go for several steepings, also seeing a little bit the changes of the tea taste over each brewing, a little bit a different tea. Meanwhile, the matcha is more or less the a little bit quicker drunk tea, bolder in its flavor profile. And this finally really describes well, in the end, the difference between these two teas coming from the same plant, prepared by the farmer in a different way. And then finally, I'm also drunk in a different way. Here, a little bit more the hydration, softer, more delicate notes, which you're getting in here, a little bit more the bolder tea. What I didn't say about the matcha itself, so it's not just the tea leaves which are taken and then they're just put into powder form, but it's actually, especially with the high grade matchas, it's a destemmed, deveined tea, which is finally then converted into a very delicate, very fine powder, which is only consisting of the best leaves, the top three leaves, which is also the case with here, with this one here, where we maybe talk about three to the top, the top three to the top five leaves, but here we really talk about the smoothest, youngest, and strongest in terms of flavor profile, strongest in terms of caffeine. So definitely quite a longer process, and that's why also matcha is in compared to the grams much more expensive. For a good ceremonial matcha, you pay around per gram more or less a dollar. Meanwhile, for a sencha per gram, you pay around 30 cents, which is a third of the amount. But here we used 2 grams, here we used 5 grams. So you're finally here around $2 and here around $1.50, but you can do 3 to 4 cups with the sencha. Good. So this was this. I hope you like this one too. And if you ever have a question, please feel free to leave a comment. I'm happy to answer all your questions. And if you have ever done this comparison, good for you. And if you have never done it, then maybe try it at home, see what you like better, or maybe see even the differences between these two teas and then discover a little bit more out of the different flavor profiles that each tea can give you. Thanks a lot for watching. See you and bye-bye.